Exclusive to Jacaranda FM, it's The Drive with Rob and Roz. Jacaranda FM.
Derek Hougaard is here, Rian van Heerden, the producer of the docu-series, the brand new CakeNet documentary series coming out about his life. And obviously, we've heard all the news. There were interviews with Nadine on Breakfast with Martin Besser about how things are going with you, Derek. And allerhande stories van alle kante af, maar ons het nog nie uit jou mond gehoor nie. So this is the first time since Derek was in his coma that he's going to sit down and chat through everything that he's been through and all of the speculation. Baie welkom by The Drive with Rob and Roz, Derek.
Dankie baie, Roz. Het is lekker om hier te wees. Ek geweet, ek gaan het weer terugmaak hier naartoe nie, maar dankie.
Ek denk die eerste belangrike vraag is, hoe gaan het met jou, Derek?
My vriend, een vriend van my het altijd sê, looks can be deceiving. So ek lyk dalk een bykie beter as wat ek voel. Ek het, is maar nog bykie lam en bykie uit asem en daar die bevinding. En ek denk die pijp en die keel en die goed het maar nog een bykie skare achtergelaat, maar al in al gaan het goed.
Listen, Derek, what you went through is such a devastating experience. Is there a moment where you wake up in the hospital and you realize that this has now happened to you? Wat het gebeur?
No, that is actually the funny thing. The first 9 days was a complete blank for me. And like I said, I couldn't remember anything. I went to Michael W. Smith concert at Moraleta Park Church, and I went to bed, and I was supposed to help start coaching the under-14s at Waterkloof. So things were really looking up and starting to fall into place. And then the next thing, I wake up 9 days later in the hospital. So it's a scary thought. And after Rian's advice to go and read about all the things I know about friends that flew in from overseas to come and pray in front of the hospital, people from Cape Town coming in, and obviously that makes you feel very small, very loved, and obviously it makes you feel good about yourself that there is still people that need you in their life. But after that, I think the shock really set in, so that I know how close it was. Because speaking to all the doctors, only 50% of people that goes through this makes it through, and that's quite a scary thought.
If you're comfortable, you said go through this. What was this? Want ons, daar's baie mense wat baie goed te sê gehad het. Mm. Maar het was nie, like, wat was die, wat wil jy met ons deel, wat die eindelijke probleem was?
Daar was nie rarig probleem nie. Ek het die medikasie gebruik, soos ek het altyd gebruik het. Ek het net nie die volgende dag wakker geword nie, en ek moet seker my lewe aan Nadine te danke hee, die feit dat sy huis toe gekom het en gesien het, yes, maar hy slaap nog steeds en hy slaap nooit so laat nie. En dit kan al wat hulle in my bloed opgetel het, en wat ek baie keer gebruik is 'n slaappil en Dopakol en Trazodone. Dit is baie slegte antidepressant, maar sy neeweffek is om jou te help slaap, of jou langer in die slaap te hou. So ek was lank op dit gewees, en hulle het nie eers dit in my bloed opgetel nie. Hulle het net opiates in my bloed opgetel, wat pyn goed is. Wat ek wel gebruik het, so 2 of 3 dae voor die tyd, maar ek kan nie, in my mind maak dit nie sin dat dit die rede kon wees vir die relapse van die longe nie.
Because I honestly don't know how I would feel. I was thinking about it long and hard today, ons geweet het jy het ingekom. If I woke up suddenly, sort of 2 weeks after something had happened in a hospital, and not really sure what on earth was going on, it must be terrifying.
Ja, ons het op Breakfast met Martin Bester, het Martin met Nadine gesels, want natuurlijk, almal wil weet, jy lees koerantartikels, jy hoor op die radio en die nuus, Derek Hougaard is in 'n koma en sy is natuurlik die persoon wat die naaste aan jou was, soos wat jy gesê het, sy het jou gevind en sy het seker gemaak dat jy by die hospitaal uitgekom het. Maar hierdie is wat sy op Breakfast met Martin Bester vir Martin in die span gesê het.
Mense is nooit reg voorbereid vir hierdie tipe omstandigheer, nie hierdie tipe situasies nie. Dit het, ek denk, allemaal van ons onverwacht getref. Mens gaan maar dier een moeilike tyd wanneer iemand dier so te mooi gaan, iemand vir wie officie omgee en vir wie lief is. So, ja, Derek is die laaste 2,5 weke die absolute hel gewees. Ons het die eerste paar dae nie geweet wat ek gaan maak nie.
Derek sê dit hoor, sy sê ons het die eerste paar dae nie geweet if he's gonna make it or not. And now you're sitting here able to tell us the story. What does that take you back to?
Dis is skrikwekkende gedagte en dis eintlik die laaste 2 weke wat dit my regtig hard tref dat daar 'n kans was dat ek basies met my beplanning en goed na jou geld gekry het, gekyk het en gedink het jy is op 40 sal ek naby en aftree wees en daar het 'n paar goed gebeur en die hospitaal goed en nou sit ou waar hy sit, waar hy moet kyk na 8 tot 5 job om jouself weer terug te kry op die level waar jy gelewe het. Dit was definitief skrikwekkend. Ek dink dat dalk dis vir hulle erger as wat het vir my was, want ek was nie daar nie. En dit laat ou, ek sal nie die woord skuldig gebruik nie, want ek kan nie seker het as pris gedoen nie. Maar het laat jou toch, as jou hoor, jou ma en jou pa en jou sister en Nadine natuurlijk, hoe hulle gevoel het en so met die kinders wat daar is en hoe dit aan hulle oorgedra is, is een skrikwekkende gevoel en nie nice nie. Is seker maar die beste om het te beskryf.
You speak about your kids and I'm sure at a certain point in this experience, you had to think, listen, what if these two boys have to grow up without me?
You know, the funny thing in the hospital was I couldn't really think about anything else because I had like drips in my throat, I had drips in my groins, I had drips in my chest, I had drips all over me. So thinking wise, I wasn't thinking too much. I just wanted to get that paper out of my throat. That was the only thing. But I think the more as time goes by, you feel like yes, how serious it actually was. And that is the thing that scares me the most at the moment.
Derek Hougaard is our guest this afternoon, alongside the man who used to occupy this chair. Hello, Rian van Heerden.
Yes, yeah, am I getting a chance to speak? Finally!
Hier is jy nou!
Finally! Hallo julle!
Hallo Rian!
Ek was so lang klaas hier, ek sê nou nie vir Derek, ek het voorbij gery. Drove past the entrance to Jacaranda.
Ek het nog vir jou gevra, werk jou vinger?
No! That's the first thing they did. They cancelled my access to the building. That's the very first thing. Then you know, it's over. There's no return.
You know, we're sitting here with Derek Hougaard, iemand wat letterlik wat die dood omgedraai het, and someone who's actually been a friend of yours for many years. Vat ons terug na toe jy en Derek mekaar ontmoet het.
Nou, julle moet verstaan, Derek het na Loftus toe gekom die jaar na hy in matriek was. To say by Loftus. Incidentally, the same year I get appointed as the announcer at Loftus. So, ek het om toe begin doppe, almal het gedink, wie is die lightie? Wat weet hy van rugby af? And then suddenly turned everything around in 2002 with a Carrie Cup. Yeah. So, hierdie, toe sy nog 'n snotkop kind, nee, dis die mooie Afrikaans, snotkop kind. So weird haarstyle. I remember his hairstyle. Jy weet, so Paketberg plaaskind haarstyl.
Sy paaikie.
Kokkewiet haarstyl. En ek onthou, I made a special request. We were at Tux FM, Rob.
Yes.
I think you were still, no, you must have been there.
I met you there in 2003, yes.
The year after. Nou, they came, hulle het die bus trip gehad hier Pretoria, and they took the curry cup all around. And I requested that they stop at Tux FM. And they came there with the curry cup. And it was him. And he brought the curry cup to Tux FM. Ek was nog 'n foto saam. Ek en jy in die curry cup.
Yeah.
That's where we met for the first time, actually. There. In the studios at Tux FM. En dit is nou 21 jaar gelede.
Ja, 2 decades ago.
Wow. Yeah. So julle stap 'n ongelooflike lang pad saam. So it's now transpired that there's a documentary series that you are making about Derek's life.
Yeah.
And while this is happening, or while it's in the kind of post-production phase, you get the news that your friend and the subject of your documentary is in a coma. What does that do for you as his friend and also then on the other side as the producer?
Nou, ek kan net vir julle een ding sê. When I heard this news for the first time, I wasn't concerned. And I'll tell you why, because I know him. Das iets aan hierdie ou, and I don't know what it is, but he keeps on getting up. He gets knocked down. And he gets up again.
Yeah.
So ek weet nie, ek het hierdie weird rustigheid oor my gehad. And the whole world around me was crashing down. And almal het hysteries begin reageer. But somehow I knew that deep down, he was still that Derek Hougaard that won us the Curry Cup. That Derek Hougaard that won the first Super Rugby for the Bulls in 2007. The same guy that survived everything. Of course he'll survive this. That was my eerste thought. And everyone started phoning me, "Oh, you know, wat gaan ons maak?" Calm down. It's Derek Hougaard.
He'll be okay.
He'll be fine. And he was. Look at him. I mean, it's a walking miracle. Look at him. Lazarus. Back from the dead.
I love that you've gone from he'll be fine to walking miracle in Lazarus.
Yeah. It's more dramatic that way, Rob.
The documentary, because I mean, you, from what I understand, this has been sort of 6 months of following Derek around and interviews and insights into his life and so on.
Longer.
Mere 6 maanden.
Derek, jy rol jou oë en jy lyk exasperated. Hoe was dit vir jou om hierdie ervaring te doen? Want jy sê jy kan maar 'n mens nie. Jy is nie 'n persoon wat 'n entertainer is nie. Jy is 'n sportman wat in die publieke oog is, right? But now, you have to talk to the camera about your life, about maybe things that are certain, at certain points, uncomfortable and not great memories. Hoe doen jy dit dan elke dag meer as 6 maanden?
En saam met hierdie ou.
Well, I tell you what, in the beginning I was very excited. Till the first morning they rock up there at 8 o'clock and you have to look like you just got out of the shower or something.
Everyone wants to be a Kardashian for 10 minutes.
Yeah, exactly that. And that's on the funny part, but on the sad part is I reckon this is the longest production they've ever done.
Expensive.
The most expensive production they've ever done. They've been all over the country. And obviously I didn't make it easier for them as well. With being in a couple of places that I had to decide that if you should be very, very weary of what you wish for, because you just might get it. Because in the first episode I said I really want to make a change in people's lives, because I've seen so much and I've seen so many sports people especially that has gone through turmoil, trauma, etc, etc, and there's a lot of things that I wish that I can take out of the documentary. But I've decided that I have to be an Afrikaans is onwrikbaar eerlik. Is die beste woord om te gebruik om te sê as ek nie self deur iets kan gaan nie, dan kan ek nie vir jou sê om dit ook te doen nie. En dit was vir my die moeilikste om my so vulnerable te maak vir die hele land om jou te crucify of hande te klap of te sê well done or whatever it might be. But let me tell you, this was a journey for the books.
You see die ding is, nommer 1, you forget to mention that I had to beg you on my hands and knees to do this show. Took me two months.
I forgot that part.
Do we have Mander? Yes.
So basically, it's almost a year production.
Yeah. I don't know if I should do this. Come on, Derek. I can't do one. It's your nodig. Then I convince him. Then 3 days later, he phones back again. Yeah, I will not even. So eventually, we got it done.
Rian, hoe kom was het voor jou belangrijk om Derek's stories te vertellen in die documentaar?
Want ek het hom sien speel. En ek het geweet, na sy besering, dis nie die einde nie. I mean, the man is a rugby savant. Maar meer as dit, hy, for anyone that wasn't around at Pretoria in 2002, when he won the Currie Cup, natuurlijk met jou span by, maar he basically scored most of the points in that final. Verstaan jy hoe groot het was nie? Hy is die liefling. I was there when we started playing liefling. Jy weet, at Loftus. So ek het geweet hoeveel hy nog kan beteken vir mense in Suid-Afrika, how motivational his story can be. En natuurlijk ook, we need to get Derek back to being die liefling. Jy weet, nou ons weet, jy weet, hy deur 'n rough patch gegaan, but he's getting out of it. Look at him, for heaven's sake, he's fighting back.
And soos jy gesê het, dis die eerlikheid wat jy wil vertoon. You say yes to something like this, knowing it's going to be terrifying.
Yeah.
But there is something, I think once it's done and once it's out, incredibly cathartic about it. Like a phoenix. You need to go through the fire to come out the other side of it, especially when there's been lots of stuff said and lots of people having opinions. At the end of the day, you can only represent yourself and you can only be honest about yourself. And once that's done, I think there's an incredible freedom on the other side of that.
Yeah, and I think that halfway through the production, I thought to myself, I thought, yes, why did I make myself so vulnerable to the people out there? A guy that likes his privacy. Die Afrikaanse woord wat ek die meeste hoort is smartvraat. Want mense is so makkelijk gooi die woord smartvraat as jy eerlijk is. Want hulle denk jy wil bejammer word. Jy wil nie bejammer word nie. Jy wil net die waarheid vertel.
Ja.
Jy wil net seker maak dat die ouens wat na jou kom nie in die slegte posisie is as wat jy is nie. And of course, during this production, I went through a phase which I really thought, I don't think I should open myself up so much, but I was so deep into it that, and my heart was into it, that I decided to push through, because I was in church the one Sunday and a guy told me, said, well, I know a lot of guys that would have been through as many things that you would have been through and wouldn't have made it, wouldn't have been with us anymore.
Yeah.
And that was my motivation to keep on going with this thing.
It was very important for you to say your say and to be honest in this documentary, as uncomfortable as that is. And throughout all the years, daar is stories oor jou geskryf waar jy niks bydra gehad het nie. So, how does it feel for you now to be able to take back that narrative and tell your own story?
Well, I told Rian in the beginning, I said, to be too honest is a curse. Because if you're too honest, then that is what is going to happen to you. And I still feel like talking to you now, I've done the right thing. You guys are making me feel at ease, and of course it is, we'll see what the backlash is, because there will be backlash, because it's a story of my life, but there's also so much more. There's a lot of other people that are talking on the documentary. There's a lot of old rugby players that has completely been forgotten, that has heart attacks and people don't even phone them up and see how they're doing. And that breaks your heart. And there's a lot more to this documentary than just my life and what happens. And what happened to me is, I'm not special. There's a lot of things that has happened to a lot of people that is driving past the studio now, and it's just not on the polls.
Yeah.
And it's not deadlines. So sometimes I think it's better to cry alone in your home.
Anonymous.
Yeah, and not people. I miss my privacy.
Yeah.
I do.
Do you find that now that you had this medical emergency, which you almost didn't make it through, do you find that there's a softening of the media towards you in terms of the stories they're telling and the way they're telling the stories? Of dink jy enige iets om op daai straatpaal te kan adverteer, of het nou die waarheid is of nie, daai story gaan uit?
Well, my honest opinion at this moment, any story will make it onto the post. They literally are trying to get anything or any headline or anything out there about me. And like I said, I just want to just give me a couple of months of privacy. There is a lot of things that you can look forward to in October. And yeah, dit is die moeilikste ding vir my om met die mense half te sê die lewe in die media het sy pluspunte, want betyker is het lekker en betyker maak hulle jou relevant en betyker is daar sekere goeders wat hulle waar hulle jou rarig help, maar as daar sekere plek waar hulle jou rarig onder die bus ingooi en wat nie nodig is nie. Ek het altyd die fliek van Muhammad Ali, een van die media ouens was sy beste vriende en hy het nog steeds sy werk gedoen en geskryf, maar hulle het vriende gebly. En ek het half gedink, maar hoekom kan dit nie in Suid-Afrika so wees nie? Hoekom kan ons nie vriende wees met mekaar en jy doen jou werk en maar daar is 'n mate van respek nie? Want ek wil graag met respek hanteer word en ek seker jy wil ook met respek hanteer word. Ek wil jou nie ignoreer nie, want dit is slegte maniere. Ek is nie so groot gemaak nie. En ongelukkig het dit my al 'n paar keer in elk skeen gebyt, letterlik en figuurlik.
Well, ek kan vir jou sê, this WhatsApp line is just absolutely full of love this afternoon.
Hi team, listening to this interview with Derek, and it's really heart removing having me in tears here. All I want to say is, we might never know what the reason is why something happens, but all we know is it can be a testimony.
Hi Akranda, dis Johan wat praat hierso. Ek wil net vir, nie een vraag nie, ek wil net vir Derek Hougaard sê, baie sterkte, en ons weet jy sal weer daarop kom. En ek was daar Jan, toe Derek vir Francois van Cooke met boks opgevaait het, ons langs die kant gesit, ek en my, daai tyd was het my meisie, nou is het my vrou, en ach, ons het dit so geniet, en ek wil weer sien, Derek Hougaard, Francois van Cooke, no, rond het, fight 2, en fight 3.
ek sal weer moet gaan leer boks.
People are rooting for you Derek, they really are.
Yeah. There's so much love here. Baie mense sê dit. Sê net vir Derek, ons stuur vir hom sterkte. Sê net vir Derek, ons stuur vir hom gebede. Lots of thoughts and prayers through here. And I think it's important to be able to tell your story. And the story, Rian van Heerden, wanneer kan ons dit kyk?
Ons kyk op die stadion na middel Oktober. Op Kyknet. Ek dink is 'n Woensdag aand. Sal hy afskop.
Ja, my man nie donker.
Ja, ek hou hom baie nie donker. Ek glo jy moet dit kyk, as jy dit saam met die res van die volk, moet jy dit kyk.
Ja, so ek gaan nou selfde gevoel hê as die volk.
Ja, exactly.
Die belofte was gewees, ek sal kyk dat ek die skok kry voor die volk het kry, maar...
Nee. You see, that's what I like about the stuff that we do, is I've got one of our stars that always, he prefers... to watch it. And I think this is lekker ding. Because then he sees it for the first time. They usually phones me afterwards and he says, oh, thank you. That was good. And I said to Derek, you look at that face. You see the distrust there. he's going, what is he going to put in the show? And I keep on telling him that. And I also told my housewives, the Pretoria housewives, I said to them, I said to them afterwards, you will walk away from this smelling like roses. It's always my promise to everyone that's in one of our TV shows. And I'm making this promise to you, Derek Hougaard, on the radio. You'll walk away from this smelling like roses.
I would love that.
Maar ek wil jou sê, there's a... Ek wil jou sê wat dinsdag, because there's the big finale of the show.
Yes. Vertel vir ons.
Ons het, jy moet verstaan, Derek, this journey of what is the next step in his life?
Yes.
What is going to be next for him? We were initially, he was moving towards coaching, and then this incident happened. It was actually going to be coaching a school rugby team of a prominent high school, and then this happened. So the other thing that he always wanted to do was do motivational talks and share his story with the world. And I'm talking about the world, because most people in the world still remember rugby.
Absolutely.
Playing country, still remember Derek Hoog.
100%.
So ons wil volgende Dinsdag by die Barnyard in Menlyn gaan Derek sy story vertel. Very honest. And tell us how he survived all of this. The loss of a child, a divorce, a career, almost his life. How he did it. So volgende Dinsdag aand, en ek wil net sê dat jy gaan dit nou nie sê nie, maar dit is belangrik dat ons verstaan that financially all of this had a massive impact on Derek. Mm. And that we want to support him. So Dinsdag aand, wie ook al daar gaan wees, it's in aid of Derek. He will be doing his talk. Hy gaan sy story vertel, hy gaan ons leer hoe hy dit oorleef het. And we ask people to please, next Tuesday night at 7 o'clock at the Barnyard Theatre in Menlyn, om jou kaartjie te kry, is barnyardtheatre.co.za. Dis vir jou kaartjies kan kry vir volgende Dinsdag aan. So they, please, support you.
Absolutely, 100%. Go along, show some love. If you're a fan, go and show some support. And we absolutely cannot wait to watch all of this when it comes out and all of the other things that are going to come with it.
And I think for the show that's happening at the Barnyard next week, I think a lot of people are going to go there and just come out very hopeful. Want elke terugslag wat jy nog in jou lewe ervaar het, alles wat Rian nou genoem het, jy kom altyd terug. Dis hoekom Rian nie geworried was toe jy in die hospitaal was nie, want you are just the bounce back king, and we have been extremely privileged to have you on The Drive with Rob and Ross today. So dankie dat jou hart so oop gemaak het vir ons, en jou eerlikheid is maar 'n kus, maar vir ons was dit lieflik om jou hier te hê.
Baie dankie julle.
Exclusive to Jacaranda FM. It's The Drive with Rob and Ross. Jacaranda FM.